It's Earth Day here, the 22nd day of the month, 4/22/13, and it's been 2.5 years since an oil pipeline owned by the Canadian company Enbridge ruptured near Marshall, spewing hundreds of thousands of gallons of heavy crude oil into the Kalamazoo River. It's been one of the costliest oil spills in U.S. history, and the cleanup is still ongoing. Steve Hamilton is an MSU scientist who's been monitoring the cleanup, and he joins us by phone from Kalamazoo to give us an update. Welcome, Steve.
Good morning.
Remind us what happened in the Enbridge spill a couple of summers ago. How bad did it get?
Well, a pipeline that carries this kind of oil, which is coming from Western Canada, and we call it tar sands often, or oil sands, crosses through Kalamazoo County, and it developed a rupture, and that was in a place where it was buried underground under a small wetland, which was connected to a small stream. And the oil gushed out for a long time before it was noticed, and it made its way into the small stream and then into the Kalamazoo River, ultimately contaminating up to 40 miles of the river.
So remind us, this is not a conventional crude oil as people typically think of it, correct?
That's right. And there's a lot of confusion in the media right now about the name of this material. But what it is oil sands, crude, or bitumen is a better word for it, or sometimes it's called bitumen, and it's thick like molasses at normal temperature, and they have to use heat or chemicals even to get it out of the ground, out of the sand in which it's found. And in order to pump it through a pipeline, they have to dilute it with lighter petroleum compounds, and so hence we call it diluted bitumen when it's in the pipeline.
And where are we now, 2.5 years into this cleanup?
Well, it's going to continue this summer, unfortunately, and the reason is that the submerged oil has proven very difficult to deal with. And this is the first spill of this material on this scale in an inland freshwater river, and the largest one in North America, actually. And we're learning that a significant fraction of this material sinks and becomes integrated into the sediments. And that's been the most difficult part to clean up. There was also a very large amount that was deposited on the riverbanks and floodplain, but at least you could see that, and so you could go strip the vegetation and scrape the soils or whatever it took to get rid of that. But the submerged oil is the problem that continues.
What do we know now that we didn't know, say, 6 months ago? I mean, have we learned recently that the situation is possibly worse than we thought, say, a year or two ago?
Well, the main way that we have to screen for the presence of submerged oil is to go out in a boat and literally stick a pole down in the sediments and disturb them and wait for a sheen to come up and look at how much sheen appears. And sometimes you get tiny globules of oil as well that float on the surface.
And huh.
That is, it's temperature dependent, so we weren't able to study it over the winter here, waiting for the water to warm up to do a spring reassessment. But we did a lot of work, and when I say we, it's actually the contractors that Enbridge is paying under direction of the EPA. I'm just independently advising the EPA on the cleanup. So anyway, the spring and fall assessments of last year showed that there is still a lot of sheen production, in particularly three areas behind dams where the river slows down and material naturally settles out and accumulates.
So you are still discovering areas where there is this oil that you hadn't gotten to before?
Well, that's true, and we're also discovering that the oil is persisting in places that have already been cleaned up.
Hmm.
And so one idea is that new oil is still in the system coming down river and settling out in these quiet places.
How what's on the short-term future here then? As the weather warms up here, how much does the cleanup company and how much does Enbridge and the EPA all want to get done here while during this window of opportunity when the weather is warmer?
Right. So the EPA issued an order to Enbridge calling for further cleanup or recovery of the submerged oil in these three hot spots behind dams. And the EPA's suggestion, strong suggestion, is that dredging is the best way to address the problem at this point. In other words, physically remove the upper layer of the sediments, take it up on land, try to get the water out of it, and then take it, you know, to a landfill, basically.
What are the risks involved in dredging?
Well, dredging is extremely disruptive, of course. You suck up the bottom with everything that lives there, and so it's disruptive in that way. It can produce plumes of suspended sediment, although with a lot of measures to control that, that might be less of a problem. It's also a lot of heavy equipment on the river, and they need a staging area on land, and it's really expensive. So nobody wants to dredge unless it's kind of a last resort, I guess you could say, to deal with a problem like this.
Well, let's be absolutely clear. Are you saying dredging's been proposed, or dredging is definitely going to be moved on? Dredging will happen.
So EPA issued the order. Enbridge said that they were intended to comply with the order. And I think the last stage, and I don't know if it's actually how close it is the permitting by the State Department of Environmental Quality. So I would expect to see dredging.
As an independent scientist, Steve, how would you assess the EPA's response to this episode?
Well, I think the EPA's response has been very good. They came in very early on, and I think the response has been pretty much by the book, the way the laws have been written to handle this kind of a situation. So I think it's been excellent. It's not been easy, but I can't point to something that they should have done that they didn't do overall.
What about Enbridge's?
Well, I think for the first half of the cleanup, I would say the same thing, and I think a lot of people would agree. Naturally, they're getting more and more impatient with the situation as time goes on, and less enthusiastic, I guess.
You referred to adequate compliance with the laws. Are the laws themselves adequate, in your view?
Well, I think so, as far as I can tell in this single, case study. The laws are very strong, and they were able to pretty much, tell the company what they needed to do, and the company is, financially responsible for all the expenses that have been incurred at all levels in this cleanup.
It sounds like the Kalamazoo River is pretty much a test case for this intense of a spill with this kind of oil product. What can you point to things that we've learned from the Kalamazoo spill that hasn't been on anyone's radar before?
Sure, and it's a lot of it has to do with the particular kind of material, the diluted bitumen from the oil sands region of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing we learned is that it sticks to surfaces and it's very hard to get off, harder than conventional crude oil. So things like plants and soils and man-made objects that got coated with the oil had to basically be removed to get rid of the oil. Couldn't wash it off. We figured out that the significant parts sank. Nobody was sure in the beginning. We knew it was overall denser, a little heavier than conventional crude, but we were all, I think, surprised at how much ended up on the bottom of the river system. And we still don't understand exactly what made it sink.
Are we learning, perhaps, how deep this bitumen sinks, or will we be learning that as far as the riverbed goes?
Well, it really sinks down on the surface of the sediment, but the river being dynamic, especially during floods, for example, today, it rearranges those sediments. And so there's that natural process of rearrangement of the sediments, which can actually integrate it in more deeply. And actually, the attempts to clean it up have probably also mixed it with deeper layers. And it's not what you might imagine. You might picture a puddle or a layer, a continuous layer of oil sitting on the bottom. It's not like that at all. It's integrated in an almost microscopic form now into the sediments in tiny globules. Very difficult to actually see when you take, a sediment core and a clear core. You can just barely detect it sometimes, or often you can't see it at all.
That doesn't sound real encouraging. Have you been able to measure changes in the ecosystem as far as its impact on life? Are we that far along?
Well, so the oil that was deposited above the normal summer water level, and the river was really high when it first received this oil, obviously coated a lot of vegetation. It was the middle of the summer, and all that vegetation with visible oil on it was removed. So that was an impact. Of course, it was cut off at the ground surface, though, and a lot of it has come back from the roots. And so it's not like we have a barren floodplain now. It's actually, you know, hard to tell in some places that anything happened. So that part seemed to be very resilient. In the submerged oil areas, the impacts of the dredging and disturbance still persist. So we haven't seen the full return of aquatic plant beds and, you know, clams and things like that you'd expect in those environments.
At this point, Steve, what's at the top of your list of takeaways from the work that's been done so far?
Well, when this kind of oil spills into an aquatic environment, it's very difficult to clean up, and we probably will never be able to completely clean it up, and therefore we need to do everything we can to make sure that doesn't happen. Unfortunately, we just saw it happen again down in Arkansas, and so we need to take stronger measures to make these pipelines safe and to have the best response possible to stop the oil from moving into water bodies.
So there was a bitumen spill in Arkansas in a freshwater river as well?
Well, the pipe broke in a neighborhood, a suburban neighborhood, bubbled up in people's yards, ran down the street, ultimately went into storm drains and made its way into an arm of a freshwater reservoir and some swamp forest. So it's a smaller scale, but apparently it's as much as a quarter of the volume of oil that spilled in the Kalamazoo River, and it's out there in the environment now. So they're going to have to struggle with the same kind of cleanup.
Steve Hamilton is an MSU professor of ecosystem ecology and biogeochemistry, and he's been monitoring closely the Kalamazoo River ecosystem following the massive Enbridge oil spill 2.5 years ago. Steve Hamilton, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.